Again, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, so that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. For the past 30 or 40 years, the feminist movement has, to my way of thinking, successfully undermined the family and particularly the position of fathers within families. And for two or three or four decades, many women in our culture and in our society have maintained wrongly that families can be perfectly well and healthy without fathers. Yet, over a period of time, the statistics are quite plain that single-parent families have children which are at risk to a greater degree than families with both fathers and mothers. These children at risk are more prone to get into drugs, and young ladies are more prone to get pregnant out of wedlock. And even in recent studies, it has been shown that families with fathers, and I emphasize that, do better at raising children. And I read an article just this week in USA Today in that regard. And so as we are looking at the fifth commandment through the eyes of the Apostle Paul this morning on this traditional Father's Day, we are emphasizing the family and the roles of fathers within families. Again, look at the text. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. If the feminist construction of things is in error, then it would stand to reason that the biblical construction of things is correct. And I submit to you that that is exactly the case. And so I lay before you this proposition at the head of our outline. If we expect God's presence and blessing on our families, community, and nation, we must commit ourselves to Christ and studiously follow God's will. And this includes the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, that your life may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. I'm looking at this fifth commandment, as I say, through the eyes of the New Testament. And I want to give a little bit of background to what the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6. And in order to do that, I'm drawing your attention to the scripture that we read a little bit earlier in 1 Peter. So if you turn there to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll look at that briefly. As I say in the first point in our outline, God ordains certain institutions for the benefit of all humanity. And that's the thrust of the text which we read in 1 Peter 2, 13 and following. Look at 1 Peter 2, 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. God has ordained certain institutions in the world for the benefit of all humanity. That's the thrust of the words in verse 13. Human institutions. That these are particular institutions God has given to us for the benefit of humanity, for the benefit of humankind, for the benefit of all men and women. What are these institutions? Well, the first one that the Apostle Peter mentions is government. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as one in authority or to governors as sent by him. So government is an institution ordained by God for the benefit of humanity. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that this is the case. It's pretty clear. It's pretty simple. Government, the first institution. Verse 18 in 1 Peter 2. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect. In the time of the writing of the New Testament, slavery was in vogue, and servitude was in vogue. And I'm here to tell you, folks, that there is a sense in which servitude and serving is in vogue today also. And anyone who has a job and works for another person, and some way or another we all work for other individuals, anyone who has a job knows that they are in the service of another. And so the workplace is in view here. Government is one institution. The workplace is a second institution that Peter gives us. And he proceeds to talk about that in the rest of chapter 2. And then in chapter 3, Peter says, in the same way you wives be submissive to your own husbands. And in verse 7 he says, you husbands, in the same way live with your wives in an understanding way. What is the institution that Peter is zeroing in on here? It's very plain. It's the institution of marriage and the family. And we are all required to understand that marriage and the family is a divinely instituted institution, redundant, yes, but it is an institution given to us by God for our welfare, marriage and the family. So God gives us these three things. And God requires, this is the second point in the outline, God requires us to render proper submission to these three institutions. Now, I thought I might pause for a moment and comment about the fact that one of the institutions which is not mentioned by the Apostle Peter, and one of the institutions which is not mentioned by the Apostle Paul in parallel passages in Ephesians and Colossians, is the institution of education. Now, why do you suppose Paul doesn't and Peter doesn't mention schools, education? Well, I think one reason is that in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 6, education was specifically given to parents as something which they should carry out, the education of their children. It's interesting that today there is a struggle between parents and government over this whole matter of education. Isn't this the case? And historically, in our country, it has been the church, another divine institution, which is not mentioned here because it's of a different category, another divine institution which has been at the forefront in erecting schools. It's been the church that has been at the forefront in erecting schools. And almost every school in our nation of higher education was begun by the church. Very amazing that this is the case. And it was families and churches that have historically been at the forefront in education. Well, I guess that's a sidebar. At any rate, the three primary institutions are government, the workplace, and the institution of marriage, which are mentioned. And notice that the Apostle Peter says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Submit yourselves to government institutions. And even under the Roman yoke, the Apostle Paul was saying the same thing. And if there was a government which was specifically anti-Christian, it was the Roman government. Submit yourself in the workplace. Do your job in the workplace. Be submissive. Be submissive to the institution of marriage. And I'll tell you this, folks, that both husbands and wives need to be submissive to the institution of marriage, because both husbands and wives have specific duties in the institution of marriage. Very important. What does this word submit mean? This word submission has to do with placing ourselves under others. Now, I know that's not the popular thing in our culture and society. And I also know that the Southern Baptist Convention is taking it on the chin in the past week, because they passed a resolution which upheld the biblical position with regards to families. And they are being scoffed and denigrated in the media today because they have taken the biblical position with regards to families. It's too bad. It's too bad. But the interesting thing here is that the word submission, placing yourself under, placing yourself at the disposal of others, is the very essence of service under God. And it is the very example which Jesus Christ has given us, because He is the one who preeminently placed Himself at the disposal of the Father and said specifically to the Father, and says specifically to you and to me, I did not come to do my own will, but I came to do the will of the one who sent me. And so it is Jesus Christ who gives us the example. I want you to turn back with me, please, at this point to Ephesians chapter 5, and get a better grasp of what all of this means. You see, if we are to follow Jesus Christ in this whole idea of submitting ourselves to certain human institutions like government and work, human employers, and to the marriage institution, we need grace from God. Isn't that the case? We need grace from God. And God provides the ability through His Spirit to obey the requirements of submission. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 with me, if you would. Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Isn't it true that we, as those who name the name of Christ, are to be individuals filled with the Holy Spirit of God, aglow with the Spirit of God, marked by the fruit of the Spirit of God? And how is it that the Spirit-filled life is marked? Look at Ephesians 5 again. Verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's one way being filled with the Spirit is marked, that we speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs.
that we do that when we come together in worship. Singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. See, that's a second way that the Spirit-filled life is marked. Do you have a song in your heart? Do you have a song in your heart to the Lord? You know, it's a good thing when we go home from the worship of God on a Lord's Day morning, and one of those psalms is just revolving in our hearts and minds, and we're singing it over and over again. Singing in your heart to the Lord. How often the worries of this life, how often other tunes and other songs get in the way of that. And then there's a third point under the definition of the Spirit-filled life. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Being thankful. Giving thanks to God. You know, one of the biggest problems that the children of Israel had in the wilderness was grumbling. Isn't that right? And the very opposite of that would be giving thanks in all things to God, even the Father. And we need to practice that. We need to be ready to give thanks to God in every circumstance of life. And then there's a fourth item in verse 21. The New American Standard Version reads, "And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." The margin reads this way, literally, "being subject to one another in the fear of Christ." That's the fourth way we are to understand the Spirit-filled life. Being subject to one another in the fear of Christ. That means, for example, that pastors need to listen carefully to the exhortations and urgings of other pastors and elders. One of the membership vows that we take asks the question, are you willing to submit to the teaching and government of this church? And when you say yes to that, you're saying, yes, I'm willing to put myself under the teaching and government of this church. Submitting in that regard. That's the mark of the Spirit-filled life. You see. Now Paul goes on to explore this idea of submitting even further. He says, wives, be subject to your own husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Do you get it? Submission in and to the institution of marriage is a mark of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we hear the Word of God in this regard. And then Paul says in chapter 6 of Ephesians, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Young people, children, obeying your parents is a mark of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And rebellion against parents is a rebellion against the Holy Spirit. This is how pointed it is. Submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Children, obey your parents. Ephesians 6:1. Now look at Ephesians 6:1 again. And what's the proof text that the Apostle Paul uses
to verify his injunction in the first verse. It's the fifth commandment, taken out of Exodus 20. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Dear friends, I therefore submit to you that following the fifth commandment is therefore a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is a fruit of the fullness of the Holy Spirit in us. It's as plain and as simple as that. And you need to get the connection. I think it's a powerful connection. And part of the problem is that when we toss out this whole idea of submission, which in our society is found to be repugnant in the minds of so many, when we toss out this whole idea of submission, we undermine the fifth commandment. We undermine the idea of obedience to parents. And we undermine the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the mark of the Holy Spirit upon the lives of men and women. I think that's where it is. I really do. And so, as I say in our fourth point, following the fifth commandment is therefore the fruit of the Spirit. And not only so, friends, not only so, as I say in point five in our outline, following the fifth commandment is the way of love. How many times have I directed your attention to this text in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. It's been numerous times, has it not? Look at 1 John chapter 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. What is the love of God? Keeping His commandments. Now, this does not mean a brute, fleshly keeping of the commandments by the energy produced by the human will alone? Of course not. It means keeping those commandments out of a heart that is full of the Holy Spirit, the love of God poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. There it is. And is it a burden placed upon anyone by God that we should give honor and respect to dad or to mom? No, it's not. Especially for the person who is filled with the Spirit. In that fifth point, I've got the word sixth in brackets. Following the sixth commandment is the way of love. And I wanted to tie the commandments together and show you something from Matthew chapter 5. And so if you turn back there with me to Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus speaks particularly of the sixth commandment, and I think we can wrap it together with the fifth commandment. Look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. And whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. In other words, if you get angry with a brother, Jesus says that's tantamount to murder. You know what God says in Exodus with regard to the relationships that ought to obtain in the family? God says in Exodus, whoever strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And we tremble at those words. Whoever is angry with his father and strikes his father is guilty before the court. Not only of the sixth commandment, but of the fifth commandment. Whoever says of his father, who's a professing Christian, you good for nothing, and says that to his father or about his father, what does Jesus say? You're guilty before the court. You can't do that. Moses says, whoever curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And again, we tremble before those words. Whoever says of his father, you fool, and that father is a professing Christian, what does Jesus say? You're guilty enough to go to hell. And we tremble at those words. Do you see how striking it is? And how important it is to follow the commandment. Honor your father and your mother. Do you see how important the family is? Go back with me now to Ephesians chapter 6, and look at what the Apostle Paul says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. As we read the commandments of God in Exodus 20 and in Deuteronomy chapter 5, we find that the fifth commandment is the commandment to which specifically a promise is given by God. And this is the first in the list to which a specific promise is given. Isn't that extraordinary? There's no specific promise attached or affixed to the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. There is no specific promise affixed to or attached to the second commandment, you shall not make for yourself an idol. There is no specific promise that goes along with, that is affixed to or attached to the third commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And there is no specific promise that is attached to the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But when we come to the fifth commandment, in the recitation of these commandments, there is a specific promise which is given. Honor your father and your mother, that your life may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. And in the New Testament, look at how the Apostle Paul interprets this promise. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. You know what? I really believe this is the case. That the reason some of you are sitting in this auditorium this morning at an elderly age, worshiping God in His providence and giving Him thanks, is that because over a course of years you have been faithful to this commandment and have been honoring to your mothers and fathers. I really believe that's the case. And on the other side of the coin, it is absolutely astounding to me that in our society today, we have this deplorable situation where children in elementary school and in junior high school and in high school are taking guns to school. And recently in the news, young people taking guns to their own parents and then subsequently going to their schoolhouse and gunning down fellow students. What's the breakdown? I'll tell you what the breakdown is. It's right here in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And what's the promise? That it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And the lives of young people and children are being cut short because of failure in this particular area, time after time after time. And who should set the example? Christian people. People like you and me. Is our following the fifth commandment a fruit of the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Indeed it is. Indeed it is. And I thank my God for those who manifest this life in Christ. And I pray, O God, fill us with your Spirit and change human hearts and grant submission to mom and dad as a fruit of the Spirit, so that we may enjoy long life on the earth, and it indeed may be well with us. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, help us to understand this message of the Scriptures. Help us to see, O God, true life in Christ and what it is about. Help us, O Father, to be submissive to one another in the fear of Christ. Grant, O God, forgiveness to young people where there has been rebellion. Open hearts, O Father, and fill with the Spirit. Bring home these words which we have been speaking about this morning. Remake our families. Reorganize our thoughts. And make our families and in our lives, by the work of your Spirit, well-pleasing in your sight. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name.